there's no Easter service, no celebration. Instead, Jesus' followers were scattered. Scattered everywhere when they heard Jesus. And when the disciples, when they heard Jesus has risen from the dead, they did not understand the meaning. They don't know what they mean by that. According to the Bible, Jesus stayed on earth for the next 40 days, right? And after he resurrected, after he raised from the dead. And he appeared to a number of people and talked to them, and he asked them questions. And today, 2 months later, 6 weeks later, right? And after the Easter Sunday, we're looking at three separate scenes, three separate location, where these questions were asked. In John chapter 20, right, he said, "Now on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene," right? Who is that Mary Magdalene? Mary Magdalene of Magdala. Mary Magdalene was a woman from whom Jesus cast out 7 demons. It was record in John chapter 8:2. He has been tortured by demons, and not only one, but 7. When you watch those movies, I mean, when people are tortured by demons, it's awful, it's terrible, right? And Jesus saved her from years of suffering, and she believed in him because of that, and she became his disciple and followed him. Mary Magdalene witnessed most of the event surrounding the crucifixion. He was present at the trial of Jesus, and he heard Pontius Pilate announce the death sentence of Jesus. And he saw Jesus beaten up, humiliated by the crowd, and he was one of the women who stood near Jesus during the crucifixion, and she tried to comfort him. On this Easter day, Easter morning, first morning, right? He came to the tomb early because he wanted to check out, he wanted to see. And he saw that the stone had been rolling away from the tomb. The tomb is something like that, right? Back in the Middle East, it's a cave and the stone. And he said that usually, the door should be closed. It's a big stone. Nobody, as tall as a human, maybe around 5 feet, And it's huge. Nobody can do it. You need a few people to do it together. So he came to the tomb early in the morning and saw the stone had been taken away from the tomb. Thank you. But I think you be doing a good job. So I'll try things in the hand. And verse 2, he ran and went to Simon Peter. He's a leader, right? Another disciple, and said to them, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb." This is what he did, right? Something has happened. He never think about that. Jesus will do it by himself. And somebody has done something to take over the stone. And we do not know where they have laid him. I don't know where to find him. So Peter went out, right? He's always the first guy, with the other disciple. And they were going towards the tomb. And verse 6, as Peter went into the tomb, he saw the linen cloth lying there. There's no body. It's gone. And then the other disciple also went in, and he saw and believed. He didn't want, the Bible never said it. For as yet, they did not understand the scripture. So they did not understand the scripture, verse 9 said. But he must raise from the dead, because it was foretold that Jesus will die. Yes. But again, you must raise from the dead. Then the disciples went back to their home, as if, they witness something, they see a match, they see a baseball game, everything is good, and then that's it. And then they go home. But Mary stood weeping outside the tomb. As she wept, she stood to look into the tomb. So we went inside. She went inside, check it out. And here we go. In verse 12, it says, and she saw two angels in white. They said to her, "Women, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "They have taken my Lord, and I don't know where they have laid him." And having said that, she turned around and saw Jesus standing, but she did not know that it was Jesus. And in verse 15, Jesus said to her, "Well, woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking?" That's what happened on the first first Easter. And that's the first question Jesus asked. Why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking? She wept. She wept. Why? Because Jesus had died. And she also had forgotten what Jesus had told her before. She had forgotten the word of Jesus, the word of God. When Jesus' disciples were traveling around Galilee, right? Jesus said to them, the Son of Man will be delivered into the hands of men, and they will kill him. They will kill me. I mean, not me, but Jesus. On the third day, he will rise again. That's on Matthew 17, 22 to 23. But at that moment, she was overwhelmed by the tragic event. She forgot that Jesus had done on her what Jesus had done on her. He has cast out 7 demons out of her, saved her from years of torture. She forgot the many more miracles she had witnessed after that. Facing the empty tomb, she forgot everything. One thing took over her mind. That's the death of Jesus. Death of Jesus. That's it. She didn't remember what she had seen before. She didn't remember the miracle that she performed on different people. She forgot anyone. He's God. He's able to do everything and anything. She wept because she thought that Jesus had died, and she did not believe that Jesus was resurrected. That's my second point. She did not believe Jesus was resurrected. She mentioned twice that he did not know where the body of Jesus was placed. Someone has removed the Lord from the tomb. Someone must have done it. Right? Because I expect to see Jesus, the body of Jesus over there. But Mary would rather see the body of Jesus and did not believe that he had been resurrected. She forgot Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead. She's there. That's the brother of Mary. She saw it. She experienced it. And she forgot. And she forgot that Jesus had foretold his death and also his resurrection. He had lost the faith that she had when she met Jesus. When Jesus had done all the things, she had a lot of faith. It's wonderful. After a while, right? The faith, you know, fail a little bit. And when Jesus died, everything is gone. She promised herself that she would believe in him. When at that time, but the promise was gone. She used her human common sense and made a conclusion that it was over. When Jesus died, everything is over. And that's it. The Jesus she believed in was gone forever. The Jesus she thought she would follow was no longer there. Yet not even the body. Her humanity prevented her from seeing another possibility. Also, we use our human common sense sometimes. We don't see it. We see there's no way. The song tells us that. It seems as there's no way. God can create a way. God will make a way for all of us here today, tomorrow, and the day after tomorrow. Number 3, Mary was looking for Jesus in the wrong place. She looked for Jesus in the wrong place. She looked in the tomb and she would never find him. Why? Let me continue to share with you. Mary stood outside the tomb crying as she wept. She bent down over to look into the tomb. That's in chapter John 20, 11. She's looking for Jesus in the tomb. She expects to find him there. Jesus had died. And therefore she would be in the tomb. Very normal, right? I mean, you know, when you die, your body is there, you know, your body will be put in a coffin or cremated. So you're expecting to find something, right? That's very normal. She used her logical thinking to process. But in most cases, it's a work, right? 1 + 1 = 2 is very obvious. When the sun comes out, you know, there'll be sunshine, and then, you know, the plane blow. That's very, very normal, right? And thinking and to process, in most cases, it should work, but in the matter of faith, in the matter of spiritual realm, it failed her. She has to take her mind out of the box of logic. She will never find Jesus in the never meant to be in the two. The two is incompatible. Jesus never to be inside the two, never to be confined in the two. She looked for Jesus in the wrong place. He does not belong to the two, and we can only get hold of him by what? By faith. By faith that we can see Jesus. By faith that we can connect to Jesus. It's not by sight. What about all of us here? Maybe we are like Mary. We have lost somebody that we love. Someone who died before we were ready to let them go. Maybe we have made some terrible mistake. Maybe you have been hurt. And the pain that blur your vision and you forget the promise in the Bible. You stop believing in the possibility of resurrection. Some people deal with the sadness by taking a shortcut, an easy way out. They resolve by taking drug, by changing the chemical in the body. They think that, by tricking their mind, that they can run away from the pain. They can get away from the sickness. But they are lying and they are denying. They are lying and they are denying, saying that, Mary thinks that, the body has to be there. We don't need to resolve your sadness chemically. Let me repeat. You don't need to resolve your sickness chemically. There's a way out spiritually, and there's a way out spiritually. If we do believe in the resurrection of Christ, in a way that we are making our way out to overcome our tomb and then overcome our sorrow and our grief. Why are you crying? Whom are you looking for? But Jesus is always there. He's alive. You may not recognize him, but he's always there. You can find him in every hospital. When people, they can still smile to each other, and they can still crack a joke. You can find him in every source of mother who cradled a newborn. And in every family who can sit between tears in the funeral service. Because they have hope. They know that they believe in the resurrection. And that's why, they're sad, but they also have a peace in the funeral service. That's why, they sing with tears, but also joy. And you can find him on Sunday morning in the bread and the grape juice in the Holy Communion. In the faces next to you, you can certainly find it in the lives of the brothers, of sisters, of brothers from Operation God. And I encourage you to talk to them. Let me introduce you. This is, the people from Operation God. And, we are an organization to help people. We walk through and drop. We have checked in and all the communication. Sometimes we look at the iPhone and we can maybe look at the two settlement channels there.
Okay, come to us. So this is Paul. Yeah. And this is Ming. And this is Harry. And two of them are from Taiwan. And this is Andrew. And this is Tom. And this is my partner, my co-worker, that is from Benjamin. And also that's Deborah. And also that's
Jesus
reached out to them. So they're troubled by asking this question. To see
figure out what are the issues that are bothering them,
to email.
And at the same time, to decide who are willing to open their heart and share out what is causing the trouble, what is troubling them. And because of that, because of this moment,
Jesus reached out to them, and they opened it up, and
tell them to be a different kind of journey.
And
the journey that makes you into the Bible, right? Not into the Bible.
Yeah.
So let's look at that, you know, what kind of journey it is. What kind of journey is the road to Emmaus? Number one, the road to Emmaus is the road to uncover. The road to Emmaus is the road to uncover. On the road, what is that? The two disciples talking about Jesus, of course, right? That's, you know, the trial, probably, the verdict, and the suffering, and last, the death on the cross. And they conclude that, you know, the burial of Jesus means everything was finished for them. The game was over, right? They left Jerusalem. That's why they left Jerusalem. The place, you know, they have a lot of men. They spend a lot of time, a lot of fun time to get over there, right? They left. They left there with a heavy heart. The game was over. And there's nothing for them anymore over there. The faith and the assurance in the teaching of Jesus was no longer there. When he's gone, whatever they say will be gone. The miracle he performed doesn't mean anything to them. The excitement, they witnessed the excitement of feeding 5,000 people become a distant memory. Right? No longer there. Right? And the fun and laughter at the Passover meal that they spent together only give them a headache and heartache as well. Jesus had died, everything was finished. The dream, the future, gone forever. They did not know what will be their next move in life. They lost the direction of their life. They don't know what to do. The Bible tells us it's at this moment, the very difficult moment in the life of the disciple. Jesus showed up to uncover their sorrow, uncover their pain, uncover their doubt and fear because of the death of Jesus. As long as they are willing to open their heart, as long as we are open, we are willing to open our heart, then Jesus can reach out to us. It happened 2,000 years ago to the disciple. It can happen 2,000 years later to all of us here. In a very difficult moment of life, when we lost our direction, as long as we're willing to open up our heart, Jesus will be there to do what? To support us. We can be on the same road as the disciple. And we will be on the same road to uncover our pain, our doubt, our fear, as long as we're willing. As long as we're willing. Number two, the road to Emmaus is also a road to discover. You uncover, and then now you discover. What is discover? On the road to Emmaus, Jesus spent time with them, walking with them, and talking with them, and helped them to discover why things has to happen that way. In verse 25, Jesus said to them, "O foolish one, or you foolish one, and slow of heart to believe that all the prophet has spoken." Go back to the Bible. That's what it was predicted, it was recorded, it was said very clearly already. Right? And verse 26, was it not necessary that Christ should suffer these things and enter into the glory? Very clear. I am the guy, so that you all can be saved, not me. Jesus has to die. Right? And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, you know, all the Old Testament. There's no Old Testament at the time, and there's no New Testament at the time. So interpret to them, to all the scripture, the things concerning Jesus. Jesus helped them to discover the truth behind death, the hope behind his death, the meaning behind his death. Any time, especially in times of difficulty, we do not feel the presence of Jesus. Instead, we hide and isolate ourselves from others. That's what we do a lot of time. But we need to remember the road to Emmaus. We need to go back to the Word of God. Allow somebody to walk with us, to discover that we are loved by Jesus, to discover that we love and care in the community of faith here. Next time, when you encounter the same thing, remember, remember the word of God, go back to that, but remember all of us here. That you have somebody who can help you, somebody who is willing to care for you, somebody who can walk alongside of you, somebody who can play with you and listen to you. And Jesus never leaves us, and Jesus will never hang us out dry over there. No. Number three, the road to Emmaus is also a road to recover. To uncover, to discover, and then now it's to recover. In verse 29, but they urge him strongly, saying, stay with us. What is this? Towards the evening. So it's getting late already, right? And the late now is fast then. So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took the bread and blessed and broke it and gave it to them. Verse 31. And their eyes were open, and they recognized him. And he vanished from their sight. And he said to each other, did not our hearts burn with us while he taught us? Now they remember, now they discover. Did not our hearts burn while he talked to us on the road? While he opened us to the scripture? While Jesus talking to them? No, and explaining to them in the future. They didn't recognize their heart is burning. Now they realize. Pastor tells us the road to Emmaus is also a road to recover. To recover from failure, the failure of them. To recover from disappointment. To recover from hurt. It's a road of life recovery. Along the way, Jesus accompanied them, revealed them the promise through the word of God, and then ate with them and blessed them. So remember next time when you're in trouble, okay, make sure you open up your wallet, treat somebody, treat your friend, your parent, or your leaders right here, take them out for lunch, and then share with them, talk to them, and in return, you'll be blessed as well. That's what Jesus do. Food is very important, huh? So remember that. And the passage tells us the road to Emmaus is a road to recover. Along the way, Jesus was with them, revealed the promise through the word of God, and then ate with them. It did not change the difficult situation they faced. Let me repeat it. Even though, after all that, the situation to them remained the same. The fact that Jesus is no longer there is the same. Okay? The Roman government was still harsh on them. The Roman government still co-opted them. The priest council, those religious people, they still went after them. But however, the way that they look at things was different. They were given the hope to face. They were given the strength to make the next move of life. And therefore, in verse 23, they said to each other, did our heart burn within us while he talked to us on the road while he opened us to the scripture? So this is the sense that once again they get the strength. I mean, the original plan is, they're going to leave Jerusalem. They don't know where they're going to go. Forget about the place. Forget about the people. Forget about the family. Forget about the miracle. Forget about, whatever that we have over there. Forget about the hope. But now, they say, no. With Christ with me, with the word that I have straight, so that I can pick it up and continue to win our journey. Right? So the disciples walked with the Lord, the eyes become bright and the heart fell hard. Not that they have heart disease or whatever, right? They fell upbeat and the lives were greatly revived. Even it was night time and they were tired after a long journey, and immediately they returned to Jerusalem. Because they find hope in Jesus. Because the future was wide open. Situation is still the same. But the people are different. The hearts are different. The minds are different. And that's the reason why. They go back to the place where they belong. Brothers and sisters, when you are in the lows of your life, remember the road to Emmaus. Remember Jesus. Remember the hope from the word of God. Remember the strength that you can get from the promise of God. The difficulties and challenges will be there, will remain. But you will be on the road of Emmaus to uncover your pain and frustration. discover the promise in Jesus and to recover, to have strength to make to the next move. As long as you're willing to open your heart to make a journey. Now we call off your coming.
I don't know what.
God is also there to give people, the drug addict, a road to amends, to enable them to uncover their past, their wounds, their guilt, their faulty characters, their addiction, to face what they have done wrong to their friends and family, and also to God, to help them to discover themselves, their strength, their weakness, to discover that there's still hope in Jesus, and there's a future in the gospel of Jesus can bring forth. There is love and there is care in the community of faith. Most important, through the power of the gospel, enable them to recover from drug, to recover from hurt, to recover from sin, to recover from the broken and broken relationship. Tommy is one who can testify to show us that it is not possible in man, but it's not possible in God. So talk to all these people. They have a wonderful journey. I mean, you can speak Mandarin, talk to people from Taiwan as well. They all have, you know, and to testify that the resurrection is true, there's power is truth, and the word of God is true. However, the best option is not Operation God. It is only, and we are only an aftermath remedy. We know God is all powerful, but do not test God that way. Let me urge you. Do not test God in that way. We all become, when you become confused in life, when you do not see the future, and you do not know what is the next move, you do not take refuge in drug. You do not hide yourself in the cave of chemical substance. You do not bury in the midst of weed. The mist is no escape, but a gateway I call a terrible place called living hell. Tommy stuck there for 30 years. 30 years. How much one can do in 30 years? In that 30 years, he thought of nothing but drug. He spent on nothing but drug. Lived on nothing but drug. The disciple built hope and gained strength when they opened their heart to Jesus. And the same for Tommy, that he built his strength and hope through Jesus by opening his heart. But do not test the power of God that way. Because you don't know what happened to you. You may lose 30 years of your life and of your time. The last thing is in the Gospel of John chapter 21. It was seen again. Remember that? Verse 15. When they had finished breakfast time, I don't know what it's in Tim Horton or McDonald's, right? And Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than this? And he said to them, yes, Jesus, you know that I love you. That's what Peter would respond. And Jesus said to him, feed my lamb. And the same conversation repeat three times. Peter, let's look at Peter. Let's look at his recipe, right? I mean, you know, when you hire people, right, you always send them. I mean, you always look at his resume and see what have they done. So let's look at what he has done. He's the one who declared that Jesus is the Messiah, the first one. So he has some insight. It's good, right? He's the one who dared to step out of the boat and walk on water. Remember that? Stepping out of the boat and walk on water. Anybody has done that before? No, I think we all have done that in a different dimension, in a different way. Okay, you all. The fact that you're meeting here, all you need is step out of the boat and by faith walk the journey. But physically, yes, I mean only Jesus, only Peter had done that, right? It's amazing. And again, right in the Last Supper, the very Last Supper, he said, even if everyone else may flee, everyone else will be gone, I will never desert you. That's what this promise. Right? Peter was a great man of faith. And then Jesus also said in the Gospel of Matthew, I will give you the key to the kingdom of heaven. It's amazing, right? It's an honor, it's a privilege, right? And Jesus also said that on Petrus, on the rock, on Peter, the rock, I will build my church. Wonderful, wonderful resume. When everybody receives that, have the resume, it will be higher. But also we all know that he's the one who fall flat in his face. Three times he denied Jesus. Before I move on, let me ask a question. How often do you hear say out loud. How often? Of course, when your mom asks, look at you, right? Call your full name, then you know you're in trouble. When my wife calls me full name, I'm Jin Meng, then I know I'm in trouble, right? No, I don't need that. And also, there is some important occasion that your full name will be called, like in practice. You'll be called your full name, like in marriage. When you make a wedding vow, and I pray, I hope that you all, you know, you have that opportunity. Your name, full name will be called when you make that promise to each other. In this very important occasion, Jesus also called his disciples by saying, when Jesus first called Peter, that's what he said, you Simon, son of John. I mean, calling him full name over back then is a different kind of calling. So this is how we call it. And also in this very pivotal moment, very important moment, Jesus wanted to say, Simon, son of John, never mind Peter had already been called to hell. Never mind that Peter revoked his promise, denied Jesus 3 times. Jesus once again is calling his name. How often in this world that do we get a second or third chance or fourth chance? How many times? Have we ever, you know, if someone failed you, will you give him or her a second chance and tell them, that's okay, try again? Will you? I don't know. We all live in an ungracious world. When you late for your credit card, well, how much is the charge? Phenomenon, right? And will they forgive it and forget it? No, right? And here, at the end of the Gospel, John of Gospel, only one, Thomas and his doubt, Peter and his denial, and Jesus yet call the name, embrace them, accept them, and believe in them. No matter how many times that we break our promise, no matter how many times we cannot resist the temptation or lack of faith in our walk with Jesus, no matter how many times we fail ourselves or the others, Jesus still look at us and call us by full name. No matter how far we run, no matter how deep we fall, Jesus never stopped calling our name. The ministry of Operation Dawn is founded on the same principle. We reach out to those in the eyes of the others are loser, useless, hopeless. We believe that Jesus' resurrection can help them and save them from addiction, from their flawed character. We believe the word of God will change their mind. We're there to give them a quiet place, a haven, so that they can go back to regular daily life. They can go back, you know, to return to good physical health. We run twice a week, and if they are hospital, then we run half marathon. And we hope that one day, we can have somebody we have can run the full marathon as well. So if you find yourself less self-discipline, too much gaming, huh? Or you know your BMI happiness is too low or too high, then come to see us. Okay, perhaps we can help you. If you spend too much, you know, your time on the screen as well, come to us. And number two, you have the opportunity to meet Jesus, to understand his salvation, to embrace Jesus, to read and learn the word of God, so that they can be restored and regain the strength to drink like Peter. Number three, just like Peter, as they are restored, they will come back to help to strengthen the brethren. It's a tongue. And we want them, you know, use the experience to benefit the other, to tell them it's an awful journey. Don't go there. Don't go there. It's difficult. It's a slippery road. However, not all who come will have a happy ending. The past 2 weeks ago, we were connected with a female triathlete and who wants to join our rehab in China. We don't have any woman rehab right here in Toronto. But before she goes, right, we want her to clean off and pay off, you know, the drug from her body, so she can get on the plane. Because if that, you know, anything happened to the plane, you know, she'll be sent back here. There will be a waste of effort. So we booked her into Rome up north, and we have a sister, brave one, who accompanied her for a week to make sure, you know, she's clean, she's clear of drug. So I met them over there and prayed with them. I asked her, you know, why she wants to do that. She told me that, you know, she's 2 years old and she is doing it for her. She is changing for her. She will really clear, come clean for her, for him. So I prayed with them and hope that, you know, she's on the way to recovery. The next day, I received text from the sister that, you know, she stayed with. She told me that, you know, she stayed all awake all night and she started acting funny and hyper. Said something is wrong. So we called the social worker that connected to us, right, and also called her mom. And they arrived, you know, there with, you know, with his son. She was confronted, but she denied. And we asked, you know, if, you know, we can search, you know, your pocket and everything, right? And she refused. As the drug effect kicks in, she is getting more hyper. She does not even recognize her mom and her son. At that moment, we can call the entire thing off. We're all upset and sad. She cannot go home to be with her son and mother, even she won't go, because there's a court order that she cannot stay with her son because of her drug addiction. And she needs to stay in the shelter. But it was too late at the time, and, you know, there's no room available. So she just stay on, I don't know where she's going to stay, probably on the street, out there. It's rough out there. She's a girl. And we don't want to think. We don't know, we're frustrated as well, and we just have to let her go. It's depressing, it's heart-wrenching. I don't know any one of us have that experience, to stay out on the street for night, 2 nights, for a week. Nobody will start off the journey of drug intentionally. We start off with curiosity, with like a mild drug like marijuana. Just want to have some fun, right? But it's a slippery road. Once you start, it's a journey of no return. I don't know whether you know the song, it's called Hotel California. You say that, you know, you can check out any time, you can never leave. You say that you can quit, that time's coming here. I don't know what happened to her after that night. Where did she stay? How did she survive? The only thing that she had is her body. I don't want to think about it. I don't want to. I don't want the same happen to anyone else. I pray that same will not happen to anyone else. Jesus asked the question, do you love me? Feed my sheep. Tend my flock. Follow me. How are you doing with that? How well are you living out when you face challenge in life? And how do you know that you are Christian, that we are Christian? By the way that we react, by the love that we show. Can people see Christ in us? A faith of life is that one has up and also one has down. We can fail, we can stumble, we can lose hope. But that's okay. Because there's always another breakfast waiting for us, prepared for us on the same beach that Peter was there. Can you hear it? Can you smell it? Jesus is calling your name. If you love me, follow me and feed my sheep. Why are you crying? Who are you looking for? What is this conversation that you're talking to each other? Do you love me more than this? What situation are you currently in? Are you in the same boat as those people? Like Mary, lost your friend. Perhaps, you know, it's your parent, your mother, your grandparent. Like a disciple who had lost hope. Because, you know, you failed exam. You just graduated. You don't know what you're going to do. You know, you send out thousands and thousands of resumes. And you stay home for 4 months. And still no reply. Or like Peter, who had lost direction of life. Somebody had failed you. You failed. You stumbled. When Jesus asked this question, how will you answer? And do you have faith in the Word of God? Do Do you believe in the resurrection of Jesus? How do you travel in the journey of Emmaus? Do you love Jesus? All these questions are living with you. Let's pray. Dear God, again, we want to give thanks to you. Give thanks to you on the wonderful morning that you give Peter hope. You call for Peter, you give him strength. On the road, when the disciples get lost, you give them hope. You show them your word, you show them your promise. For that, we give thanks to you. And same for Mary, you embrace her. You tell her that you have this right. Lord, I pray that you do the same for us as we walk our journey, as we fail, as we stumble, as we lost direction. You with us all along. Listen to our prayer, which is in the prayer together.